when you're out of love. I'll be what you're looking for, even if it's not who I am. I can change. Welcome to Rant and Rave, the podcast, a production of Rogue Machine Theater. I'm Sarah Fenton. When I first moved to LA, I had a series of side gigs, from belly dancer to bar mitzvah DJ to bubbleologist. That last one involved showing up at kids' parties and putting children inside giant bubbles while sort of educating them about science. This is the life of a performer in LA. On his side gig, our writer this week ponders whether he's ready for parenthood from inside a Pooh Bear suit. Here's Ron Batita to introduce him.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to Rogue Machine's Rant and Rave. A Boston native, Alan Amey is thrilled to be reading for the first time here at Rant and Rave. This April, he will be performing his critically acclaimed solo play, A Child Left Behind, as a fundraiser for Autism Speaks. Ladies and gentlemen, Alan Amey.
On just another Tuesday night during my second year in L.A., I got a call from this girl I had dated briefly several months prior. Whether it was childish arrogance, East Coast naivete, or just plain male desperation, I thought it might be a post-breakup booty call. Until I heard, "I just found out I'm pregnant, I don't want to get married, and I'm only calling because my mother said it was the right thing to do." Needless to say, this was not a booty call. After the initial shock, I told her I loved kids, something she might have learned if we had dated longer than 3 weeks, and that I definitely wanted to be involved. But she gave me 7 reasons why that would not be a good idea. 1, I was an out-of-work actor. 2, I had just filed for bankruptcy. 3, my junkie car had no back seat. 4, I constantly talked about moving back to New York. 5, I still stole sugar packets from Starbucks. 6, I was too hairy. And 7, my bathroom made her want to puke. Now, despite these arguments, I thought I could be a pretty good father. My car didn't have a back seat, and, my bathroom was kind of disgusting. But everybody claims bankruptcy, and sugar packets are a corporate write-off, and I was employed. For the past year, I had worked in a very niche corner of the entertainment industry, costume children's entertainment. It was the perfect job for me because I only worked weekends. The money was pretty good, and I had my whole week free for auditions. Not that I got any, but they were free. Hearing the news, my family and friends all kind of gave me their advice on what to do. Get a real job. Move back to Boston. Or my cousin Tony, who offered to fly out to L.A. where this broad might have an accident on the flight of stairs. But the only real step I took towards my impending fatherhood was picking out this old car seat out of my neighbor's trash. Following Saturday, I'm doing this party for a 4-year-old boy named Georgie. I show up 20 minutes early, and I start changing in my car, which is like the cardinal rule number 1 of children's entertainers. You never let them see you out of costume. So I'm lying in the back of my VW completely naked, except for my black socks and tighty-whities, when I see this huge dude, spitting image of Jaimon Hunsu from Gladiator, sun reflecting off his bald head, standing outside my car window asking me what I'm doing. Isn't it obvious, I think. But I only say, "Hi, I'm Honey Bear." Point of reference, Disney Sue. So my company never references the copyrighted names of Winnie the Pooh, Aladdin, or Cookie Monster, but we instead use more generic, legally safe names like Blue Monster, Arabian Prince, or Honey Bear. But before I can explain any of this to the gladiator, he leads me inside where I meet Georgie's grandmother, who's hosting the party. And she introduces me to the gladiator, who's Georgie's Uncle Denard, and then takes me by the paw through her house, filled with all these beautiful pictures of family in the living room and pictures of family in the dining room and in the hallway walls. And I'm thinking, how cool would it be when I have my own family pictures in my studio / single apartment with no living room, no dining room, and no hallway walls. Eventually, I step through the large pair of sliding glass doors onto the backyard patio, where I'm immediately engulfed by a sea of screaming four-year-olds. Pro tip here for you wannabes. If you've never worn a big costumed head, it's terrifying. You can't see through the little eye holes. It's stuffy. You can't breathe. It smells like feet. And what's worse is you're constantly fearful of stepping onto one of the mini paparazzi that's firing questions at you from underfoot. How you doing, Winnie? Well, where's Tigger, Winnie? Where's Tigger? Do you want some honey, Winnie? Georgie's father pulls me aside. Hey, how you doing, Winnie? Listen, you think you could give my son a few minutes before the party starts? He's a little nervous around costume characters. Georgie's dad seems like the perfect father knows best type of guy. He's kneeling, hand placed paternally on his son's shoulder. And I'm thinking, Alan, if you want to be a good father, just do exactly what this guy is doing. So I kneel down too. I place my hand on Georgie's other shoulder and I say, "Hi, Georgie, happy birthday." Georgie looks like he's about to cry. He turns away, and suddenly the thought that I'm failing some kind of fatherhood test has me panicking so much I break cardinal rule number one. I step out of costume. "Don't worry, Georgie, see? I'm just a man in here, just like your dad." This Hallmark moment is quickly punctured when Georgie's father suddenly laughs out, "Oh, shit! You a man! Damn, I thought you were a girl! Yo, Denard, check this out! Winnie the Pooh is a man!" There is humiliation, and then there is awkwardly dancing in a bad Pooh costume while 30 adults laugh at the realization you're a grown man as you sing, "The wheels on the bus go round and round." People are laughing so hard that even Uncle Denard smiles. I'm singing, I'm dancing, but inside the big head, I can hear, "No wonder she doesn't want you involved. You're not a man, you're a Pooh Bear." And I realize he's right. I have nothing to offer. I want to hang family pictures, but I don't fit the frame. I'm not father material. Hell, I'm not even Pooh Bear material. I'm just a cheap ripoff with a junky car seat. Suddenly, the whole picture changes when four men carrying bats walk into the backyard and they're not looking for any pinata. "Motherfucker! That's my motherfucking boy! Don't be having a party for my motherfucking boy!" Turns out Georgie's father is actually his stepfather. Georgie's biological father has just been released from prison about 2 weeks prior, and he is not too happy about being excluded from his son's festivities. Suddenly, fists fly. People are screaming as my CD player keeps blasting, "Wheels on the bus go round and round." Mothers are scrambling to get their kids. Grown men are battling, and I'm absolutely paralyzed with the fear in the middle of the yard when all of a sudden I hear, "You gotta do something, honey bear." And so I do. I start pulling children to safety, scooping up one girl. I pull another boy out of the way. Bodies are smashing. Windows are crashing. I see a flower pot fly past Uncle Denard's head and crash through the sliding glass doors. But I keep pulling. I keep scooping. I keep helping because I realize this is my party. These are my children. And this is what I do. Besides, who's going to hurt Pooh Bear? I grab one little girl and I literally toss her to her mom before getting knocked down to the ground by two men who are chasing after Georgie's stepfather. Uncle Denard is fearless. He's throwing punches. He's pulling men off of Georgie's stepfather. He's battling like a true gladiator. Suddenly, sirens are wailing, and within moments, three police cars, an ambulance, and a fire truck are outside the house. The party crashers are taken away in cuffs. The injured are taken away on stretchers, and the police take statements. So, What happened next, Mr. Pooh Bear?
Actually, it's Honey Bear.
I give my statement, I pack my stuff, and Georgie's grandmother asks if I can stay longer, but I had another party to do. Besides, my costume is torn. My supplies are scattered all across the yard. I mean, what could I do as just me? So I walk into the backyard to collect my check, and I see Uncle Denard, a true gladiator. Blood is dripping down his head. He's trying to keep the festivities going. All right now, this here's a party, y'all. Come on now. This here's a party, y'all. And for the first time that day, I saw something on Uncle Denard's face as he stood before those children, something I had not seen all day. Fear. Cold, desperate fear. So I stayed. I sang some songs, I painted some faces, even led a mean game of freeze tag with Uncle Denard. But when it was time to go, I told Georgie, "I'm sorry, Georgie. Sometimes adults argue and fight, but that doesn't mean both your daddies don't love you very, very much. Now, I have to go, but before I do, I'd like to make you one last balloon animal. Anything you want, a doggy, a Kit Kat, giraffe, just name it, Georgie." And Georgie looked up at me and he said, "Can you make me a man?" "I don't know, Georgie. I'll try." And so that day, I made Georgie a giraffe with a short neck. Because that's all I could really do. But I'm learning.
That was Alan Amy on Change. If you're in the LA area, Sam Hunter's Pocatello, directed by John Perrin Flynn, is on until the end of March. Tickets available at roguemachinetheater.com. Rant and Rave, the podcast, is a production of Rogue Machine Theater. Our executive producers are John Polono and myself, Sarah Fenton. Series producer is Daniel Goodman. Webmaster is Amanda Maurer. And our podcast theme music is by Heartbreak and Not As Strong. I'm Sarah Fenton. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Yeah.